You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
New Texan safety CJ Gardner-Johnson did an interview. He sat down with the guys on the Pivot podcast, Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, Fred Taylor. It looked like they came to Houston to do that because they kept saying CJ Gardner-Johnson kept referring to here when talking about Houston. So
I talked to Fred about this when they were in town during training camp last year, and they probably interviewed somebody else. Yeah. And the interview will come out in a month or two or so. Oh, yeah. So they probably interviewed two or three Texans players. So I don't know who the other guy will be after this.
Sound like they got some work in too, because when they were having that little impromptu conversation after the interview and they were talking about Kalen Bullock and Jalen Petrie, Ryan Clark had said that he worked out with Kalen Bullock the day before. So I wonder if they got some work.
Yeah, I don't know, because everybody works out. I've been all these different places all over, so I don't know. Yeah.
But the day he's in Houston and the day before, it would seem like maybe they did that here, you know.
Right. But I don't know if it was at the facility or just at one of the workout places they go to.
Yeah. So C.J. Gardner-Johnson was asked by the guys, why are you no longer – we should point out, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's been on a different team now five consecutive seasons, New Orleans, Philly, Detroit, Philly, Houston, why are you no longer a Philadelphia Eagle?
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call because guys come off the sideline. Dude, if you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you tell them the period is live, you're telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We're competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football?
Okay.
Okay.
I am excited for these practices.
For a little context here, because a little context on him getting ejected from the Commanders game. Yes, the play in question, I mean, the way C.J. Gardner-Johnson lays it out is almost like somebody, like he got flagged for a hit that he didn't actually commit or something. It was his second unsportsmanlike penalty in the game. The second penalty that he got ejected for was for after that big, after there was a big hit, it was Zach Bond forced the Commanders fumble, and CJ was jawing at the Commanders players, so he got an unsportsmanlike for that. it was the second penalty, so he got ejected. I think it was the second penalty in that quarter. So with CJ Gardner-Johnson, there's this entire interview is really interesting because there were times where he was acknowledging that he's had to learn to dial it back at certain times, but also at the same time adamantly saying that he's never done anything wrong. So there's a balance there. CJ is an emotional player. I think that, and I think he's trying to find that balance between, okay, when do I need to dial back the emotion, but also the emotion is part of what makes me the player that I am. And I think it just feels like, given that he's been traded so many times and he's spent so many times with different teams, that there's a little bit of an element of like he's a bit much.
Yeah.
And part of that is what makes him a good player.
Yes.
But part of it also can rub people the wrong way at times.
All right, let's skip down here, Ben. This I think plays into the similar narrative here. He told a story from preseason about a practice. This is a story about Saquon Barkley and C.J. Gardner-Johnson that wound up with C.J. Gardner-Johnson getting cussed out by the Eagle coaches.
Okay, you asked me why I'm in Houston. We do a two-minute drill.
Uh-oh.
And Nick say, it's third tempo. This isn't, I think, mini camp. First beginning part of practice, we get our pads. I say, you show, Nick. Nick say, just throw them up. John says, I got you. The first play, guard turned out, shoot a gap. They immediately blow the whistle. Because they know, like, They were like, oh, no. Hold the D-line. They were O-line say, oh, you want to go hit on Saquon? He going to shake you? Saquon said, all right, Chauncey. You got it. We competitive. You got, because he walked up to me for practice, for camp. Hey, if I break, that's 7 points. If you stop me, that's 6 points. I say, bet. I say, but if I smack you, like, well, if I hit you, like, come on, all right, we just talking. So, because I had Wolf Coach say third tempo. Yeah. Like, what I get for that? He was like, just take care of him, I'm take care of you. They doing the, you know how offense do they do? They little gimmicks on 2 minutes. Nick go empty, and I know what's coming. The Jalen Hurts quarterback draw, I run straight down the middle. I'm supposed to be in the middle third, run right down the middle. I ain't even hit him, but I got. Drill over defense one, whatever. I got cussed out so bad.
So you got cussed out?
So it was a tempo violation in practice. Yeah. I could see. That's interesting because this is where sometimes an offensive-minded coach versus a defensive-minded head coach, it matters. And I don't know if he would have gotten cussed out by DeMeco.
He might have more latitude here than he did in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Not having been there. He's an habitual line stepper, okay? Mm-hmm. It's always a matter of, there are a lot of habitual line steppers on the Texans defense. I think he's a much better personality fit with, I think, DeMeco as a head coach and DeMeco as a defensive coordinator than perhaps he was with Nick. And now Nick, it's interesting because Nick Sirianni is a more fiery and emotional guy than DeMeco, or at least like kind of out of control emotions.
Off
Sirianni's
filter.
Got out of control
yelling
emotions
at fans
times.
During games.
Yeah, compared to DeMeco. Yeah. DeMeco's very emotional in a good way, but it's always channeled very positively. And then Vic Fangio, likewise, is a defensive coordinator. Vic's always been an interesting one that, you know, sometimes I think in various places he's not a guy that players look at as an embraceable type of guy. So there might have been some friction there. I love Vic, you know, but it's just sometimes there's fits that do and don't work out.
Yeah.
I think if there's a chance for it to work out long term for the first time in C.J. Gardner-Johnson's career, he's got a much better shot of it happening in Houston.
Yeah, I agree.
And that he acknowledged multiple times in this interview that he's had to learn when is it okay to be full C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That you got to be. There's certain times where it's okay to be full C.J. Gardner-Johnson. There's other times where you got to dial it back a little bit.
Yep.
And it also makes sense, too, that I do think like everything that he's tried to do to kind of change the way he operates, it might just be as simple as that in Philadelphia there was just time. Even though he's changed, that maybe like when they have to make hard decisions and there's tiebreakers between which veteran player do we keep versus which one do we let go, like CJ was too far behind the sticks in that race to be the guy that they were going to choose to keep.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And if we have new listeners who don't know, Seth played for Vic Fangio for how many years here with the Texans?
5 years.
Yeah. So that's
4 years. 4 years here.
Yeah. So I mean, so Seth's got good knowledge as to what the personality types are.
And I saw it on the player. Like, there's certain types of players that like Vic just can't. And this was 20 years ago, you know. Yeah. But you know, the Dolphins, it felt similar. The way things played out when Fangio was the Dolphins, it sounded very similar. There's just some players that he just doesn't necessarily connect with.
Yeah.
That I could see D'Amico, like, and I could see C.J. Gardner-Johnson being one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Whereas with D'Amico, I could see him connecting with C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a different way.
Absolutely. All right. So the Texans have two joint practices coming up during training camp. They will have one here against the Carolina Panthers on August the 14th. Hopefully you got your tickets to that. There will be a second one in Detroit, which makes this even saucier because this is C.J. Gardner-Johnson's former team. 2 years ago, he was a member of the Detroit Lions. So this was C.J. Gardner-Johnson telling stories about joint practices that he's taking part in.
Giants came up there for joint practice. They knew what time it was. They coach said, yeah, we can't. Y'all defense, CD's going crazy. Jamal Agnew, Jacksonville come up there, live practice. For Philly's old coach, he was at Jacksonville.
Peterson.
Doug Peterson.
Doug say, we're going to go live. I hit little Agnew. He fumble helmet come off. They stopped joint practice. This is true statement. Dan say, we're going to have a live one versus ones in Detroit. Gibby get his issue, but it wasn't on. I hit Jahmyr Gibbs in practice. Coach Shep get me. Everybody going
crazy. Yeah.
They going crazy because in Detroit, we do Oklahoma drills. So you know how it is up in Detroit, man. Yeah. They knew what time it was. When I told my pick, I felt bad for him, but I was happy for him because I was still there. Mm-hmm. If he had came into himself. Mm-hmm.
Tracy Walker.
Trying to like, figure, okay, I'm like, big bro, you know, like, we the older ones, so we got the, when we saw Kirby and Brian go crazy, that's when we were like, all right, mm-hmm. We can't say nothing no more. They got it.
Okay, so he's talking about Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, and lead into that was like how Brian Branch, who was a rookie at the time when they were doing these, he wasn't sure, like, hey, how do I handle these? And he's going to C.J. Gardner-Johnson for advice on it.
Yeah,
it's almost like C.J. Gardner-Johnson was this mad scientist trying to turn Brian Branch into Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And by the end of that training camp, he had turned Brian Branch into Frankenstein.
Yeah. I with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
It's coming, Kalen Bullock. You're going to be Frankenstein.
I'm about to say something that is usually a bad sign, which is this. Look, people are down on him. It's not like he's ever been arrested or has had legal troubles
or anything.
Like, usually that's an indication that, all right, yeah, whatever the issues are, they're definitely just, they're more interpersonal in football and everything. You point out that, the dude's he seems like a solid citizen. You know, I don't have to worry about him the way some of the Chiefs have to worry, some of the Chiefs players you have to worry about, or God, like the Cowboys, of course. I don't have to worry about him in that regard. He's a good citizen.
Yes.
But in terms of just the way he operates, this is where a conversation I had with one of our listeners once, who's a former Army Ranger. And we were talking about how it's interesting in the military, a lot of times you go from unit to unit, and sometimes you're just a fit in the culture of that unit, and then sometimes you're not, and it's not that it's one way good, one way bad, or whatever. There's just certain cultures where guys fit better, and I think there's a really good chance that CJ's just maybe a better culture fit for D'Amico's defense than he was for Philadelphia and for everything they had going on there. You know, I know CJ Gardner-Johnson has a good point when he says. When the Eagles say that it was a cap casualty, that's an oversimplification, but it was a factor.
Yeah.
And it was in that they paid Saquon. They paid those defensive players. Like they did have to make some, there were going to be cap casualties, but deciding who your cap casualties are, that's the part that gets a little bit more personal with CJ. And I can understand why he felt, you know, like he felt like he was being the type of player that they wanted him to be, and yet at the same time, they don't want him around no more.
Well, and I think along those lines, I don't think we can ignore the fact that the Texans probably took a look at C.J. Gardner-Johnson, not just the player and the fit and how productive he was, but looked at his contract. He signed a three-year, $33 million contract with the Eagles. The Eagles have paid a lot of freight on that contract already. You know, there's a signing bonus involved. Like, C.J. Gardner-Johnson comes at a value financially also to the Texans, I think, for what he brings to the table. So that's just part of it. Text message, did the pivot ask C.J. Gardner-Johnson about his Lions stint? Would think Dan Campbell would embrace him. I don't recall that they asked him specifically about Campbell. What I thought jumped out to me, Seth, about that cut we just played about joint practices, where CJ talked about the joint practice with the Giants. They knew what time it was. The joint practice with the Jags where he knocked off Agnew's head. And then an actual practice with the Lions, with his own team, a team that, as he points out, does the Oklahoma drill at practice. Where whatever it was enough to stop a Dan Campbell practice. Right? There's a certain thing. It's one thing to stop a Mike McDaniel practice. It's another thing to cause something that stops a Dan Campbell practice.
I think it's really interesting. And the one thing that's important to remember is he is 27 years old. And that's where he accurately pointed out when the Eagles try to say, hey, we're going with youth. Okay, this is not an old player. This is not a 31-year-old that's going to, is in danger of falling off his peak or something. But it's also, he's learned some things, and just given by the interview, it does sound like he's put a lot of thought into just exactly what he can and can't do and when he needs to kind of hold his tongue. And it's not going to be perfect and it's not going to be beautiful, but you just, at the end of the day, he's a really good football player. And he takes the ball away a lot. But the maturation that can happen at age 26 or 27, it happens with a lot of guys. They just kind of dial it back a little bit. And you might see the best version of him you've seen in terms of that balance, hopefully. But it is. He's an emotional dude. He's an emotional dude.
I can't wait. I mean, there's a text message between Aziz and CJ. I cannot wait for this season. This defense is going to be hard hitting. It is. It's going to be fun. Training camp starts a week from today, man. First practice this time next week. We'll be getting ready. We'll be within an hour of the first practice of training camp starting. Should be a whole lot of fun. All right, Payne and Pendergast continuing here on a Wednesday. Hey, let's circle back to last night's All-Star game. Ended in a historic fashion. The swing off, the basically mini home run derby. I put up a Pender poll earlier this morning. I'm just curious. I think people liked it. How much do you like it? Do you like it enough to where you would use this as the way to decide regular season games? What do the people think of this methodology? We'll hit that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Houston Astros, shortstop Jeremy Peña. Pitcher Hunter Brown. And pitcher Josh Hader.
And thus ended the night for the Houston Astros, who made the trip to Atlanta for the All-Star game. That was it. They all three, Seth, I would say, did an amazing job tipping their cap, waving to the crowd. A++. Really good job.
Did any of them wink?
Not that I saw. Okay. I didn't look closely enough, but I didn't see. That would have been fun. Wink and give, like, the six shooters, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Hard to pull off a wink sometimes. In that new Jerry Jones, well, that new Cowboys documentary that's coming out on Netflix, in the trailer, there's a shot of Jerry Jones from back in the old days winking.
Oh.
And it looks, he looks so much like a landlord who's open to unconventional payment arrangements. Sort of like... Like, it's so creepy looking. Yeah, it very much has a, like, well, I know you can't afford to rent.
Right, right.
Maybe we can work out another way, Mrs. Havenstein.
What does that wink say? That wink says it doesn't have to be American currency. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm willing to accept alternate forms of payment.
And he would. Yeah. He would. It turned out to be a really exciting All-Star game. If you shut it down early like I did, I went to bed when it was 6-0 National League. Extra innings. The American League came back and tied the game at 6 in the 9th inning, and they went to a swing-off.
Extra swingings.
Yes.
Yeah.
They picked their three best swingers on each team, and each took three swings.
Which All-Stars are most likely to be swingers?
Kyle Schwarber made a good case last night. So Kyle Schwarber ends up hitting home runs on all three of his swings. That was good enough to win the MVP of the game. That's one of the interesting wrinkles, is that the MVP of the All-Star game, which is it's a cool honor. Bregman won it back in the day when he was an All-Star for the Astros. Kyle Schwarber won it basically because he just dominated the extra session format that they chose for this All-Star game. So each team picks three guys to take three swings, so 9 swings total, and whichever side hits the most home runs wins the game, and the NL wins. After coughing up that lead, they win the game because they win the home run derby part of it 4-3. So it's like a miniature home run derby almost. So I posed the question to you earlier, Seth, in terms of deciding a game, because Major League Baseball has already kind of opened the door for this because they're already using a gimmick to decide regular season games. It's a gimmick that looks more like real baseball than a home run derby does, obviously, because you need to make baseball plays to win the game. But the free runner on second is a gimmick. There's no question. And they're trying to shorten games and not wear out bullpens and keep the games tight so that people aren't watching four-hour baseball games and whatnot. But and it was cool. I didn't watch it live last night, but I watched the replay of it, and there is a certain intensity to it. And in regular season games, it actually means something. I started to think I could get behind. If we're already in the gimmick world, we're already in the world of gimmicks, I would gimmick a step further, and I would be okay with them using this to decide regular season games. People are killing me on the text page for this.
Yeah.
But I would do it.
I'm not with it. I don't like it. For one, I think it gives too much of an unfair advantage to teams that have power hitting, like a lot of power hitters or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course, if you get into extra innings, there's a good chance that you've gotten there with at least one of the teams has some really good pitchers. So, I don't know.
But the way they did it last night was they had batting practice guys throwing it to them. It's not opposing
right. Oh, no,
pitchers.
I definitely. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because it would be the home run derby. Yeah. No, I know. But I'm talking about like the actual, how are teams constructed?
Yeah.
It feels unfair that, okay, well, great, teams that have a lot of power hitting are going to end up having an advantage in a situation like that. That I don't like that. I think if you're gonna try to some way make the extra innings even sexier, I would say just put the automatic runner on third, and then a much greater chance that it's also going to be over faster. That remember early on,
it'll definitely be
that
over faster.
It wasn't having the intended effect. It was like extra inning games were still going a lot longer before it all balanced out. But if you really wanted to just get them over ASAP, yeah, put an automatic runner on third.
See, I like the mini home run derby. All right, so a few hundred people have voted in a poll that I put up like an hour ago. Because you and I talked about this earlier in the show. Here's how I worded the poll, Seth, because I know you haven't looked at this, and I'm anxious for you to guess. Pender poll. Last night at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, it was decided with a mini home run derby to break the tie after nine innings. Three hitters, each getting three swings. Most home runs win. So, which method would you prefer to decide regular season games tied after nine innings? Mini home run derby, automatic runner on second, the way they're doing it now, or old school, just play it out like we used to. No gimmicks at all, just old school play. So that adds a wrinkle to it here. So you get a flavor for just how many people have a stomach for a gimmick in the first place, and then if they do have a stomach for a gimmick, then which one is it? How do you think this played out?
I think it's hard for me, too, because I got to put my place in the most of the people answering your poll don't have a 3 or 4 a.m. wake-up call, so the extra innings games are extra devastating to me.
Yeah,
so
that's
I think 25% of people just would like to go back to the old way.
Okay.
I think 60% of the people are cool with it as it is.
Okay.
The automatic runner on second. And then the remainder would go to the...
Yeah. The rest, yeah, like 20%.
I can't remember what I said for the first
one. It'd be like 15 or 20% home run derby, something like that. I get where you're going with it. You're just way off on all this right now, Seth.
Oh!
Yeah, your finger is... We don't need multiple buzzes or anything. I thought that this... Now, again, it's just a few hundred people voting on Twitter, but the thing about these Twitter polls is that when eventually 3,000 people vote on it, the percentages stay about the same. 50% of the people want it the old way. They just don't want any gimmicks at all. 50% just want no gimmicks at all, which surprises me a little bit. But you're right. Like, you and I have a different sensitivity to the ghost runner ending the game early because, you know, we get up early. So the other 50%, they like gimmicks. 33% of the overall like the mini home run derby.
Oh, wow.
17% like the way that it is now. So it's almost one of those things like where, okay, half the people are get off my lawn. Like, don't like, stop touching my baseball here. Like the half that aren't that way want to go full gimmick on it. At least two thirds of that crowd want to go full gimmick on it.
My alternate suggestion would be if you're into the gimmicks to begin with.
Yeah.
I would say let's instead just put a pitching machine out there. That's throwing 105 mile per hour heat.
Okay.
And just whoever gets a base hit first, just do that. However, get five swings, however many base hits you get. and then the other guy gets five opportunities and you keep going at it.
Go full StatCast nerd and the first team to get 110 exit velo on a 105 mile an hour pitch wins the game. Go full nerd
on
everything.
One of our listeners definitely knows this, I'm guessing. Like when major league ball players, if they stand at the plate and they know that a pitching machine is going to throw a fastball, what's the fastest velocity they can handle?
That's
coming
a good
out of it with it. It's probably pretty damn fast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably. It's definitely real damn fast, but I wonder how high it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, guys sit on 99 mile an hour fastballs, you know? That's interesting. Sean, put yourself on Takeomania this Friday with that dumbass take. There's a lot of people. Hey, of the people that want gimmicks, more agree with me than agree with Seth on this one. The more the gimmick people more want mini home run derby. Who would the Astros pick? If you had to pick three guys to hit home runs,
that's why I'm so against this rule.
Yeah,
there are previous years where I'd be like, "Oh hell yeah, this is a great idea."
Yeah.
I guess a healthy Yordan, obviously.
Healthy Yordan's a no-brainer.
At this point, I would love to be able to say Christian. Paredes, obviously.
Paredes as well, yeah.
Paredes, and then I guess Pena. This year?
Yeah.
But it's not like Alma, you know, Altuve's not hitting for the same power he used to hit for. There's nobody that's really just crushing it this
year. Yeah, yeah. Would it be Altuve? I think Yordan and Paredes would be my for sure two.
Yeah.
And then I guess it'd have to be Altuve, keep in mind, they're not chasing sliders and stuff like that. These are meatballs that are getting thrown.
Yeah, remember, I forgot that part of it, that there's no pitch selection involved.
Yeah.
So I would go with the Yordan, Pena, and Paredes, possibly Altuve.
Yeah.
In Minute Maid Park, then Altuve, but then otherwise maybe Pena.
Paredes for sure if it's in Minute Maid Park. Walker, Walker strikes out all the time, but if you got some 56-year-old guy throwing meatballs to him off the mound, I kind of trust him to hit home runs in that situation, shouldn't I? You know, like if he's not having real pitches thrown to him.
I don't know if he's trustworthy in any capacity right now.
Yeah, you may be right. Yeah.
Usually we'd love to say, hey, well, but at least he's giving you defense, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's just not nearly the defender that he typically is this year.
Yeah. Yiner has BP power, someone's saying on the text page. Yiner's on my list. I think the list is basically seven guys you'd be choosing from. It'd be Yordan, Paredes, Pena, Altuve, Yiner, Walker, and maybe Cam Smith, maybe in that type of situation. You know, like Cam's got power, we know that, but he's only got seven home runs this year.
So Christian Walker, because it's a home run derby, and because they're just meatballs that they're throwing up, the pitch selection and everything that he might be struggling with this year, it wouldn't be a factor. And if you just go back to last year, when it came to hard hit percentage, barrel percentage, bat speed, all of that, he was in the 90th percentile of all of it. This year, the frustrating thing is looking at the advanced baseball savant stuff.
Yep.
The only thing he's really impressive at is bat speed. And all that means is that the at-bat is over infinitesimally faster than it might otherwise be with the average batter.
Yeah, exactly.
He is hitting that ball poorly or striking out way faster than a lot of people.
Nobody strikes out faster than Christian effing Walker, man.
He's in the 86th percentile of bat speed, but when it comes to striking out, it's got to be 99.9%.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing, Seth. The bat moves.
His actual speed with which he strikes out.
The bat moves much faster when it's not actually hitting something. You know, like when it actually hits something, theoretically that.
And with no fear or expectation of hitting something.
Yeah, like you're just.
Psychologically, he's clear because he's like, there will be no impediment to this bat speed. I am going to get up into the 90th percentile as long as I keep missing the baseball completely.
It's very liberating, no doubt. Someone said I'd pick Christian Walker as long as the game's in Dodger Stadium. Yeah. He's money there.
Altuve at Daikin Park.
Yes.
And Christian Walker at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Just by way of extending the misery a little bit.
Yeah.
Christian Walker right now is in the 12th percentile of strikeout rate.
I would have guessed worse. I would have guessed single digits. He strikes out so much.
17th percentile in whiff percentage. Yeah.
I love
but how. Don't worry. He's all the way up in the 26th percentile of walk rate.
I love that this question elicited a stat nerd Seth breakdown of Christian Walker. Like, who would we fix for this? Who would we pick on the Astros for this thing that's never going to happen? And then we get strikeout rates for Christian Walker out of it. Can we trade Pendergast? No, you can't. That's not up
to
you.
Hey, what the hell?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Someone texted that in. No, that's up to Sarah Fraser and Parker Hillis to trade me. Nobody's untouchable these days. That's the best hope I can give you. Nobody's untouchable. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you as we roll on a Wednesday. All right. Media days in college football. maybe the most awkward faux pas ever at a college football media day happened, and it involves the Aggies and the Longhorns, and you're going to hear it coming up next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, so SEC Media Days yesterday. They've been going on all week. I think it's like four coaches a day. There's 16 coaches in the league. I think there's like four a day that are doing media availability. It's a big deal. Steve Sarkisian, we know UT, fairly new to the SEC. Steve Sarkisian, the Texas head coach, getting introduced yesterday. So he stands off to the side of the stage, and Greg Sankey, the commissioner, goes through, you know, his resume here, and he gives a long introduction, talks about his family, and then says, here is Steve Sarkisian. And then at that point, I'm guessing it's the Eyes of Texas that's supposed to play right there. You know, that's the song that I would play if I were handling the DJ duties. But they all get their school's fight song as their walkout music. Here's how it sounded yesterday when Greg Sankey introduced Steve Sarkisian, head coach at the University of Texas, at SEC Media Days.
He was the 2020 Broyles Award winner for assistant coach as offensive coordinator at Alabama. He's married to the former L'Oreal Smith. Steve has two daughters, Ashley and Taylor, a son Brady, and he and L'Oreal welcomed a son Amias in April of 2025, the head coach at the University of Texas, Steve Sarkisian.
Welcome.
that is the
only cut I could find. I didn't hear anything where it extended into Steve Sarkisian's preamble for whatever it was he was going to share with the media, but it sounded like he just rolled with the punches, like, all righty.
Well, welcome. No, and it looked like it stopped playing, and then he just said, all righty, and I don't, you couldn't see whether you acknowledged
it. He acknowledged or addressed it.
I'm guessing he's looking at his notes as he's walking up. And I'm guessing that it just didn't register, you know,
that's bad. That's the fight song. If it doesn't register, that's the Aggie war hymn playing underneath.
Yeah, because he's focused on what's in front of him. Yeah, he's not listening to the music. I don't know. I'll give him a pass on that. Whichever flunky arranged that as a practical joke or something, because I have yet to find a comment from a Longhorn who thinks that was an accident.
You and I are on a different wavelength on this one. If Marcus Freeman, if Notre Dame were in a conference, if Notre Dame were in the Big Ten, and Marcus Freeman gets introduced, and he's walking up there, and they play, they're playing Michigan's fight song, which is drastically different than Notre Dame's fight song, I'm expecting my coach to at least make a snarky remark about it.
This is the thing, though, because Sarkisian was looking at his notes. And remember, this isn't media days. This isn't a pep rally. So it's not like he was looking out, trying to get the crowd riled up or anything.
Oh, man.
I 100% think that he was, I don't know. Now, maybe he commented on it and I didn't see it yet. I just figured he was unaware of what was going on. It just sounds like, to him, it might just sound like classic college music, you know, whatever. I'm not thinking anything of it. I don't know. Am I naive?
That's what I want to know. Is Seth naive? Is Seth naive?
No, I'm not naive in that I don't, I suspect that that was intentional on somebody's part.
Really?
I think somebody pulled a fast one.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I don't know, man.
That's a bold move.
A great risk to their actual job and
yes,
career.
Yes, yes.
But if it was a college, yes, even if it was some college intern or something,
yeah.
I don't know. It was 50-50. It might have been an honest mistake. Somebody, one of the people that replied to one of the posts about this says that, Texas A&M back to their sabotage antics up there with alarms, food poisonings, attacking Texas's hotel with noise pollution, etc.
Oh.
So that guy 100% believes that this was intentional.
It was intentional. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If they were to do it intentionally, it would have made more sense to do it last year, their first year in the SEC, when it would have been sort of a hazing thing, you know?
Like, yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Welcome to the conference. Here's the Aggie War Hymn, buddy. Take that. All right, so am I off base or is Seth off base? Seth thinks
he's being naive here. I don't think Sarkisian didn't even register in his mind.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I'm saying if that were my head coach, I would be a little upset if it didn't register in his mind. Who's off base here?
I like if it doesn't register in my. I want football guy, the guy who hears nothing and sees nothing. I want Nick Saban who steps over an injured player on the field because he's so dialed in on the most important thing. And right there in Steve Sarkisian's moment. Now remember, maybe. This is hard for me as an honorary Aggie that vaguely knows the lyrics to that song.
Yep.
To try to defend Steve Sarkisian here.
Yep.
I want a guy that's just dialed in on what the one singular thing that he's about to do.
Saban probably. Saban would have been laser focused like you're talking about. Lane Kiffin would have had 7 jokes about that happening up there.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, continuing with SEC Media Days.
You got to remember, Sarkisian's always in this constant battle of like, just don't go back to my old ways. Don't go back to my old. Don't let it disturb my equilibrium. I'm not gonna get. I just got. I got to keep it smooth and steady. Smooth and steady.
That's
here
true.
We go.
I'm on a good path now. Guys.
Yeah, I'm on a good path. I don't want to. You're just talking about my kids. I'm not gonna mess this up. Not gonna mess this up.
Oh, that's funny.
Plus, it's also Sarkisian hasn't had that many opportunities to hear the.
That's only his second year in the SEC. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that might be part of it. It's not as automatic for him to have known, you know, to be reviled.
Maybe. And again, if I were a Longhorn alum, I would say learn the you know your enemy. You know, I would find a reason to get angry about it is what I'm saying. That makes probably more about me than it is Sarkisian at this point.
I as a fan choose to admire his focus.
Yes,
on that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Arch Manning, also at SEC Media Days, he's the quarterback of the aforementioned University of Texas Longhorns, talked about the advice that he gets from his grandfather, Archie Manning, on a daily basis.
How's the car wash been? How's the media day? Like, did you take any advice from anybody what to expect? Has it been what you expected it to be?
Yeah, it's been good. Everyone's been super nice. Kind of just starting, but my grandfather told me to keep it short and sweet and be thoughtful. here we are.
Yeah.
Does he have
the best advice? Because like any conversation I ever have with him, I'm like, I take something from every conversation I have with your grandfather.
Like a life,
I
feel like life advice.
Yeah, I feel like he gives the best in the family.
Yeah. Life advice. I mean, he texts all the grandkids every morning, a Bible verse and a motivational text. So I hear a lot from him.
Is that like one group text or are those separate texts he's sending to everyone?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of different. And he signs off his name. I'm like, I know it's you.
that's just an older person thing.
If you want to tell somebody at least like what the line is on how old you are, signing your texts.
That's a big one.
It's a big one, yeah.
That's a big running gag in the first season of Only Murders in the Building.
I haven't seen that.
That's a Martin Short and Steve.
Oh, Steve Martin. Yeah,
Martin
Steve
one.
Martin, yeah.
One of them, I think it's Steve Martin, of course, because he plays the dorkier one,
yeah.
That always signs his texts.
That's funny.
Now, I do that. I do sign my text when I'm not certain the person knows who I am.
I do too.
It's somebody that maybe I have their number, they don't have mine, yep. So I always just I'll sign it. But that is that's an old habit I heard, and we know that the Manning family, at least we know Peyton, likes to write actual notes and letters to people.
Yes,
handwritten. Like actually handwritten. Yeah. And maybe he got that from his father. So his father has spent a lifetime writing notes.
Yep.
So now that he's in this texting world, he's not going to break that habit.
So
I approve of that.
I do too. No, I'm cool with it. Dude, you're a quarterback in college and your power base, that your brain trust that you can lean on is Archie Manning, Peyton Manning, and Eli Manning.
Mostly, and the other one.
Mostly Archie and Peyton and his dad.
The brother, though.
The one who actually spawned him. Yeah, yeah.
No, the brother. What's his name?
Cooper. Yeah, no, he's Cooper, Archie. Yeah. He's Archie's
dad.
Oh,
his actual dad. Yeah, his actual dad.
Yep.
You can have Cooper. Cooper for if things go south. If he goes,
Cooper's pretty successful, isn't he? Isn't he like?
I supposedly.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always hard to tell. You know, I don't know if like is he being propped up by his brothers?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm sure chances are he's a pretty. I don't know. When it comes to him being, we know that if Peyton Manning had to make it on his own in the actual business world and had never played football, he'd probably do all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Eli?
No chance.
Not so sure.
No chance.
So where is Cooper on that spectrum? I don't know.
I don't know enough about him. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I would be irritated that he didn't know it was, this is a text, that it wasn't the Texas A&M fight song. Not that he didn't know it was the, oh, okay. I would be irritated if he didn't know Texas's fight song, not that he didn't know it was the Aggies trash ass song. So that seems to be an actual Longhorn there.
I mean, he's only played the Aggies once, yeah, as the coach of the
Longhorns,
Texas. So yeah, I don't. He might. It's just not going to register for him the same way.
FYI, it's not the Aggie fight song. It's the War Hymn. I called it the War Hymn a few times. I called it the fight song. Is it okay if I? Jesus.
No,
well, actually, guys, is it okay if I use it interchangeably for the purposes of this segment? Get the hell out of here.
Okay, that's
that.
It. Okay, no more synonyms on the show. We apologize.
Oh,
all right.
My God,
yeah, we apologize
worst.
For calling. Are we allowed to call it a song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
a hymn
sorry.
Is a type of song?
Sorry.
I'm going to call it the ditty. All right. It's a conflict ditty.
A banger. How about that?
It's the conflict ditty.
The conflict ditty. All right. Now for some reason Siri is going crazy on the screen of my iPad right now. I don't know what we just said.
Oh, I didn't realize we were running so long. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wouldn't have pontificated so long about Cooper Manning.
That's okay. We have more college audio that we'll try to get to in the 9 o'clock hour here. A really funny story. Hey, the ESPYs are tonight. Is this enough to make you watch at least part of the ESPYs? It is for me. I want to know what this guy's kill list is going to look like on the monologue. We'll do that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.